I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Fourth Down Experience, the podcast devoted to special teams. Your host of the Fourth Down Experience, former pro free agent, 9-year professional kicking coach out of the Midwest, Coach Chris Huseby. Alongside Coach Chris Huseby is a former 2-time Arena Bowl champ, 9-year pro kicking coach repping the South, Coach Brian Jackson.
Hey, what's up, 40 Nation? We are back for our In the News talk. Brian, how have you been?
Hey, I'm good, man. Hey, before we get into this, guys, if you're listening to this right now, we'd really appreciate it if you guys follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Support Down Experience. Give us a follow. All right, Chris, what do we got for industry news?
Well, I think we just need to start off the day by just talking about the biggest story in the history of kicking or NFL, man. The GOAT, he's a kicker, man. Adam Vinatieri breaks the all-time scoring record. At the time he broke the record, he finished the game with 2,550 points. That is incredible, man. That is incredible.
Job well done. The dude is a legend. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. It's just really cool, especially just being a kicking coach, being a former kicker, getting to do a podcast talking about kicking, punting, and snapping. Kudos to Vinatieri. Congrats, man. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and I can imagine, Brian, for you, I mean, you got a chance to meet him a year ago, year and a half ago at the Super Bowl when you guys did some trick shot type of stuff together, so you got to know him a little bit more intimately. I'm assuming it. You know, that connection kind of made this one kind of feel better, too.
Yeah, and he literally said what happened. He said, it'll take me about a season and a half or 2 seasons to finish, to break that record. And here we go, it's been a season and a half, so pretty crazy.
You know, what's interesting here, you know, if you think about it, you know, he stuck around for a long time, and I'm sure that record was in the back of his mind, you know. Oftentimes in sports, you know, you always hear coaches preach about don't do it for the records or whatever, or you know, do it for the team effort, team things, all that type of stuff. But you know, had to have been a point in his career where he was like, man, I could probably break this. And then obviously there's, you know, things that you do. You do what's best for the team, but then you kind of want that record too because you know it's close, right?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, when they gave him the ball. At the post-game speech, you know, in the locker room, he said thank you and all, but you know, let's get back to work and let's win the next game. And that's always been his whole career. So he's just a great role model and a great person to look up to for all of us.
Yeah, you know, one thing I found interesting is hearing some of his interviews lately since breaking it. And one interview I really enjoyed was. He did an interview with Pat McAfee on the McAfee, you know, 2.0 podcast. And, you know, overall, you know, McAfee tells a lot of stories about Vinatieri. But one I thought that was interesting is, you know, leading up to that game, you know, he had been dealing with a groin injury. And the competitive nature that Vinatieri has to win and be the greatest and all that type of stuff. He was telling a story that he was sitting in the trainer's room looking out the window and there were three kickers there. Competing to take his spot for the next week, and just how competitive he was, and wanting to rush out there and just get back so he could, you know, one, keep that spot, but just keep it going. And I thought that was cool. I actually connected with that too because I remember when I was a senior in high school, I had torn cartilage in my knee, and the doctor said, "Well, we could fix it before the season or wait till the end." And I was like, "Dude, there's no way I'm missing my senior year of football and kicking and." And sure enough, in the middle of the season, the tear got worse, got locked up. I had to get cartilage surgery. But I had like a 2-week recovery. And I remember as I was waiting for that time period to end so I could get back to playing, one of my soccer friends came out as a kicker because they needed a kicker. And I just remember just the competitive feeling and like, God, I was like, there's no way that guy's going to take that spot. I'm coming back. And I like rushed back to like come back and kick so some other guy wouldn't take my spot. I just remember that you know, there's a competitive nature for kickers too, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hey, let's go on to some other interesting news. The Seahawks punter, Dixon, has been in the news a good bit this year as a rookie. He had a pretty ballsy fourth down run. Was that what he was quoted, Chris?
What I think what was supposed to happen is he was supposed to just burn time, take a safety, just to delay the game, and then all of a sudden he saw like an open window and he ran for first down. And first of all, it's crazy just to call, you know, that play in general, you know. But that dude's having a year, man. He could be rookie of the year kicker easily, or rookie of the year punter, I should say.
Based off watching the film over and over, I don't think he was supposed to do it. I think he got around that edge and then he saw a little, you know, daylight. And I think he just like, you know, I'm athletic enough, I'm going to get this. But what I love, depending if that is true, I love that Pete Carroll, like, was giving him fives and, like, stoked for him. Like, you know, like, he very, you know, head coaches can very easily just chew them out for even, like, attempting that. Because I'm pretty sure he was supposed to run out for a safety. I don't think he was trying to get a – I don't think that was a planned fourth down fake, you know?
I agree. And that always kind of made me wonder stuff like that. Well, if that play failed because he chose to run, that coach probably chews him out. But because he was successful, the coach is probably like, yeah, man, great job. You know, ballsy, but great. You know, just, you know, that coach's mentality on, you know, how you would attack that if it didn't work out, you know, because, I mean, he gets tackled, the ball's on the, you know, 8-yard line. They score quickly and then maybe get an onside kick. So that's very ballsy.
Yeah, and for those of you that are listening that may not understand what we're talking about here, the ball was pinned deep back in on their territory. They're up more than a touchdown. And what has happened every once in a while is, instead of putting the football and giving them good field position, you catch the ball in the end zone, and you eat up some clock, and then you just run out of the back of the end zone, and it's a safety, and you give the other team 2 points, and you get to kick off to them or punt to them. But, you know, you give them better field position if you punt the ball to them instead. So what he did instead is he saw that he had a chance for a fake and he ran for a first down.
Yep. So actually, let's turn this into another teachable moment. Let's say, guys, you're punting and you get a bad snap and it rolls into the end zone. Most coaches, instead of maybe getting tackled or fumbled, you know, fumble the ball, give up that touchdown, they usually want you to turn around and kick the safety. And basically all that is, guys, is as long as you're in the end zone, turn around and just boot that ball out of the back of the end zone or just run out of bounds for safety. So let's just kind of almost turn that into a teachable moment for if a snap backfires on you and you're trying to get out of the end zone. So coaches will prefer that safety, even though they probably didn't want it, over you fumbling that ball and then giving up a touchdown. So just remember that, guys, as you're playing as well, if you're in those scenarios.
Yeah. So interesting play. Ben Roethlisberger, he actually did this against me in college. It's like, this is kind of crazy, because he played at Miami, Ohio in the MAC conference. I played at Ball State, and he did this frequently where, even in games and film that we would watch, is if they were in the other team's territory, like on the 40, and they were out of field goal range, you know, he'd be back there like he's going to throw, and then he would scoot back, you know, 3 or 4 more yards where he may be like 7 or 8 yards away from the center. And then he would just catch it and punt the ball down and try to get inside the 20. But I don't think it was a very good punt. I was expecting better hang. It was kind of a wimpy punt, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is from a punting coach's perspective. You know, and actually when you watch the replay, you know, it was a bad nose-down drop. You know, and what's interesting is, so last year when I was coaching at a university and then now back at the high school level, I saw this play quite a bit, either against us or we utilized it in our offense. And for a while, as a kicking coach, I hated it because I was like, man, our punter's not being used. We have a great punter, and the quarterback's doing it. But there's a lot of, like, decent strategy behind doing that, because usually there's no punt returner because he's playing safety. and then you quickly back up 2 yards, quick snap it. You just get a low line drive and try to place the ball. I mean, there's decent strategy behind it, if you're for that type of stuff, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, I mean, couple things in the news that aren't so great is McManus missed a game winning field goal. He had a great opportunity to kick a 51-yarder against the Texans. Ended up hitting it wide right. That's a bummer because 19-17, could have won it with a game winner. Those are the worst.
Yeah. Well, and the biggest thing is how that coach responds. You know, obviously nobody likes to lose, and it's going to be easy to blame the kicker, but, you always keep that perspective that there's plays in the game that didn't go right before that, whether it's interceptions or fumbles, that could have also changed the outcome of the game, and don't always put it on the kickers, just because they missed that kick to win it. Although that's what they're paid to do. They're paid to make it, too. But
what they're paid to do. They're supposed to make that kick, man. And yeah. He gets real good.
Yeah. But, it's just unfortunate it happens. I think almost every kicker in their life has probably missed a game-winning opportunity, whether it's high school or college or pros. I know I did, and it hurts. It for sure hurts, to let go of that. But another sort of downfall, guys, and it's kind of humorous a little bit, but obviously sucks to be that guy in the moment. If you guys were watching the Nebraska game, trying to pull off, I think it was the Rabona type kick, but he whiffed and the ball rolled like a foot. it's kind of, always unfortunate, and I'm sure it worked 70% of the time or 80% of the time, or else they wouldn't have tried it, and then you just get that one time where it didn't really work.
Yeah, that's tough, and one thing that I don't like is the college coaches. They don't understand. They just say, hey, we want to do a surprise left, so you figure it out, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just understand. That's just my perception. My assumption is that staff just figured he could do it, told him to do it, but that is such a tough kick to, as a righty, to have to roll around and then come back to the left and do a surprise left. It's a tough kick, and then you can't be very accurate. So, I feel bad for the guy because, that's one of those kicks where it's just like a toss-up. You don't know where it's going to go. And, he tried to swing a little too hard at it, I thought. But, again, if they're a kicking coach on that staff or someone with that experience, they can be able to say, like, hey, look, this isn't going to work. We're going to think something different. That's just a tough situation.
What's interesting there, and obviously it wasn't the Rabona, I misspoke, but it was, we actually tried that at the high school team that I coach at, actually a similar version. And the head coach wanted it, and so we had to figure out how to do it. And basically what we did to try to make it work is, instead of taking, say, 5 steps over to the left, we just took 2 steps over. And we were like, well, at the very least, if somebody on the other sideline noticed that, it might look like we're trying to go deep left. And then we were able to practice this, essentially, this is the same kick. But it's a very hard kick to do, yeah. Like you said, Brian, your momentum, you're going right towards the ball, and then all of a sudden you got to swing across your body and execute a kick that goes 10 and a half yards or 11 yards, and that's a hard kick right there.
So we're going to end this industry news podcast on this quiz. I'm going to give Chris a quiz here. All right, Chris, the top 5 50 plus yards best percentage on field goals, 4 of the 5 guys, and this is all time, 4 of the 5 guys are still currently playing. Let's see if you can guess any of the top 5.
That have the best field goal conversion percentage, 50-plus?
50-plus of all time, in their whole careers. All
right, well, I'm going to say Gano.
Nope.
He's not top 5? How about Tucker?
Yep, he is number 5, and he is at 36 for 50 of his career on 50-plus, a 72%. He's number 5.
All right, so we got Tucker, Gano. How about Vinatieri? I mean, he's pretty accurate. He's got to be up there.
He's number 13.
Oh, geez.
He's 41 of 64. It's pretty crazy. Gosh. To take that 64 attempts over. That's the most attempts out of everyone. And actually, Grant, let's see. Jason Elam has the most attempts.
Oh.
Just kidding. I lied. I'm lying again. Jason Hansen had 93 attempts of 50-plus yards or more.
Holy smokes. All right, well, I'm going to add Janikowski then. I know he's got a big leg. He's got to be up there.
He's number 25.
Dang. I'm all right. Give me like two more guesses. Jason Meyer gets a lot of deep kicks.
I'll give you a tip. 49ers.
Robbie Gould.
Robbie Gould is number one. He is 28 for 36 on 50 plus with a 77.8 percentile. All right, the number two guy plays for the team in Michigan. Let's see if you can get that.
Lions? Drawing a blank, man.
Matt Prater.
Oh, yeah, Prater, man. That guy's got a leg.
He's 44 of 59, 74.6 percentage. And then number three guy played on Monday Night Football last night.
Well, let's see here. So be. Oh, Bisi Crosby.
The team that he was playing against. I would have guessed Crosby as well.
Steven Gostkowski.
Yeah, he's number three. So he's at 24 for 33, 72%. And then the number four guy, I don't think any of us would have guessed, but he's not active. He played from 94 to 07. Jeff Wilkins. Does that name ring a bell to you too?
Yeah, wasn't he Rams? He was a Rams guy?
Yep, he was number four. So that's the top five all-time 50-plus yard field goal percentage. Kind of interesting. If you look at field goal accuracy of all time, Tucker is number one, 90.1%.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
Gostkowski, he's number two at 87%. Dan Bailey's number three at 87.6%. Hauschka is at 87.6%, and the number five is Robbie Gould, 87. Jay Feely's down there at number 25.
Oh, that's cool, man.
So, pretty cool stats. Just wanted to kind of give an update there on how it's going in the NFL.
Hey, guys, two unique stories I wanted to wrap this up with, too. I don't know if anybody noticed this last weekend, two brothers played each other. So, you know, you usually get that once a year or so, you know, but it's also rare to have two brothers be, you know, playing in the league at the same time. But the Colquitt brothers, punters, Dustin and Britton, played each other. Browns versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was probably a pretty sweet experience. However, each guy only had one or two punts each. So kind of a slow day for them. but it's cool that they played each other. And then I just want to do a little shout out here locally in Minnesota. We are in the high school playoffs, and a school called St. Michael Albertville came back being down 28-0 against another local school, Edina. They came back and scored 29 points in 5 minutes, and they converted three straight onside kicks to make that comeback, and that's incredible. That is amazing.
That happens every year in Minnesota. It's like you guys are like the onside kick kings up there.
Yeah, well, the funny story that kind of goes with that is last year, I think I told this story on the podcast, Maple Grove, the team I coach on now, last year, I wasn't on staff then, they converted three straight onside kicks against St. Michael Albertville, that exact same team, and scored, was it like 22 points in like a minute. And that one went viral like all over the place. So
yeah,
so
I think you're the only kicking coach that does onside kick training for an hour.
Well, we do practice it a lot, but we don't do it for an hour. But yeah, it's the little things.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thanks, guys, for listening to Industry News. Stay tuned for more awesome podcasts coming up.
Yep. Thanks, guys, for listening and the support. We'll see you next week. Hey, what's up, 4D Nation? This podcast has been brought to you by NKR, the National Kicking Rankings Platform. It's the new and innovative national evaluation and rankings platform for kickers, punters, and snappers. Launched in 2017, this camp offers you a great balance of athletic evaluation and instruction. You'll get honest feedback and rankings, exposure to college coaches, but this camp is brought to you by credible coaches with experience that will deliver a high quality and detailed instruction to you. NKR offers an active social media platform that will give you proper exposure to all the collegiate outlets. This camp was developed by Brian Jackson, Chris Hughesby, and Tom Feely, using a proven camp format from the last 7 to 8 years that specialists have come to love. Many of the specialists have received opportunities to play at all collegiate levels, including Power 5 conferences. If you'd like to attend an upcoming camp this offseason, visit www.nationalkickingrankings.com and check out the camps page. Or follow us on social media on Twitter at @NKR_camps. That's @NKR_camps. Or on Instagram at National Kicking Rankings to learn more about us and follow our growth. Come see what all the hype is all about and check out NationalKickingRankings.com.
Thank you for listening to the Fourth Down Experience. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fourth Down Experience.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.